Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. I hope you are smiling inside and out today. Today we're going to be learning how to be a better writer, and we're going to be hearing from Lucy from Method Marketing all about how to do that. Now this is a talk that I really enjoyed because Lucy managed to produce a talk that was professional, concise, but also very, very useful. I was really, really appreciative for Lucy taking the time to deliver this talk, and I thought she did an absolutely sterling job of it. The title is fairly self-explanatory, so I'm going to leave you at that. But what I will say is that you need to just sit back, enjoy, and relax. If you'd like more from the Marketing Meetup, head to themarketingmeetup.com. There's a whole bunch of useful content there. And I also want to just say a big thank you. You're used to these thank yous by now. To Baz Richardson of Bravo Marketing. Baz is a top chap, he's creative, he's inventive, and moreover, he just really values driving results from content and driving results from great marketing. He's a great marketeer and he dearly cares about our profession. I couldn't recommend him highly enough. He can be found at bravomarketing.co.uk. So that's it from me. I'm now going to pass you over to the very brilliant Lucy.
Thanks, Joe. I feel like he's really bigged me up now. So for those of you who don't know me, hi, I am Lucy and I'm a content marketing consultant based here in Norwich and also a copywriter. My background is as a magazine editor, and I took the sideways step into content marketing because it turns out that those skills are pretty transferable. So this evening I want to talk a bit about how to be a better writer, but before I get started I want to know a bit more about you. So could I get a show of hands, how many people in this room are writers? See, I'd reckon that there'd be more hands go up because nearly every single one of us in this room is a writer. At some point in our days, we all write something, whether it's an email, social media update, text message, shopping list, or article, we all write. And we can all do with pointers every now and again. So, some of you may have seen also on social media recently, before I get into the nitty gritty, that I was running a survey about attitudes to spelling, punctuation, and grammar in marketing, because I wanted to know if anybody cared as much as I did, because frankly, I'm a bit of a pedant and get a bit obsessed about these things because I was an editor. But I wanted to know if anybody else was interested, because otherwise, well, basically this conversation is pointless. So I just asked some questions. So first up, I wanted to know how many people actually notice spelling, punctuation, and grammatical errors, just in general about the place, because I feel like I notice them all the bleeding time. And thankfully, 84% of people agreed with me and they do actually notice errors. Thankfully, because this again would have been a pointless conversation. But you might say, so what? You know, they're just mistakes. You know, people still know what I mean. People still come to my website. People still read my marketing materials. So what? Does it even matter? Well, I preempted this and asked, how likely are you to trust a brand with mistakes on its website? Because we all work in an industry that relies on trust. We only convert customers if we have a level of trust with them. And 93% of people said that they are less likely to trust a brand. Now, again, you might get people saying, so what? So what if there are mistakes? People still come to my website, I get return traffic. It doesn't seem to bother them. People still buy from me, I have customers. So I preempted this and went to the nth degree, as I've been accused of many a time, and asked, are you likely to spend money with a company on a website that has mistakes on it? And similarly, another 93% of people said that they were less likely to spend money. So if you're still saying, so what, I'm slightly concerned about where your head's at, because it literally affects your bottom line. If you have mistakes, people are less likely to spend money with you, and that's basically a fact. That's my headline figure, but the next couple of questions I asked were about what people were bothered by in particular, and 80% said that spelling mistakes were their pet hate, more than misplaced apostrophes, more than dangling modifiers and everything, it's spelling mistakes. And this is an example I actually found on my hard drive recently from a training company that I was reading their training materials, and that was in there. Effect spelled incorrectly, for those of you at the back who can't see, is spelled incorrectly twice in one sentence. So much so that I screenshotted it and sent it to various people who would also be riled by this information. So, spelling, important. I also asked which industries would be most, you'd be most bothered by seeing mistakes on their websites, and it was law, education, and financial services were the top three. Now, I would say that those three are all kind of high trust industry sectors where you want to be able to trust those people. So law, you're trusting someone with your legal affairs. Education, you're trusting them with your self-development. And financial services, you're trusting them with your money. And so if there are mistakes in your copy, it sort of reflects on how much attention you pay to detail. How much attention are you going to pay when you're dealing with someone's financial affairs? So if you're in one of these three industries, really, really pay attention to what you're putting out there. So I think we can all agree that it's important to have mistake-free content on your website, but what can we do about it? So now we're going to get into my top five steps for writing better copy, whether it's text messages, social media updates, or articles. So step one, one of the most important, and I know it's kind of boring, but it's planning. So I tend to start with the six questions: who, what, why, when, and how, because I think they give you a solid foundation for the things that you're writing. So who are you writing this message for? What is it about? Why are you writing it? What do you want them to do as a result of reading your content? Where is it going to be placed? Is it going to be on social media? Is it going to be on WhatsApp? Is it going to be in a newspaper? Is it going to be a press release? When are you going to send it out? Is it now, tomorrow, next week, next year? Make sure it's timely and relevant. And how? So if you're working marketing, you might want to think about, if you've already published something as an article, do you want it to be an e-newsletter? What structure is it going to take? Is it going to be a bullet-pointed list? Is there going to be flowing content? Think about the how. And just to illustrate, these are two examples of how I would normally go about it. So on the left-hand side is how I'd approach a press release for a client. On the right-hand side is how I'd go about writing a text. So for a press release, I would want to be reaching my clients, potential customers in the local area. In this instance, I'd be writing about their recent charity partnership. And the why would be because I want to raise awareness of their charity's campaigns, but also about my client's CSR activity. I'd want to be placed in the local press, so the EDP or Feast or the Evening News or something in this local area. Because the relationship was struck this week, I'd want it to go out next week at the latest, so it's still timely and relevant. And the how would be a news article that basically can be copied and pasted by time-poor journalists. So I'd want to include a headline, a stand first that explains what's coming up in the article, some quotes that they can reuse, literally just make it as easy as possible for them to publish it. Whereas if I was writing a text, I think in this example, it would be to my mum, asking her to come to dinner, to say thank you for something wonderful that she's done via WhatsApp. And I probably want to do it now. I'm not going to wait a week. I just want to do it. And then the how would be a short message with the date and time. And while I wouldn't necessarily go through all these steps just to write a text message, these would be the things in the back of my mind. And when it comes to emailing, I try and keep each email about a single subject so that I'm not asking for millions of answers. It's nice, it's simple, it's clear, and the format gets the result that I want. So step two, research. Not always necessary, but if you are going to be doing something long form, it helps to reinforce your argument and what you're trying to say, so it's not just based on conjecture and opinion. What I did with this survey, with this presentation, was I ran a survey because I was worried that it was just my opinion. So it always helps if you are writing something longer form where you want to convince someone, is to reinforce your message. Step three, and the thing you're all here for, writing. So this is actually kind of the shortest section for me. I just say, just do it. Do what feels right and don't overthink it. So personally, I tend to write with a paper and pen because the connection between my brain and my hand is better than the connection between my brain and the keyboard for some reason. And I just scribble. I write whatever comes into my head. I don't worry too much about going off on tangents as long as it kind of relates to the plan. I cross out, I scribble out, I write notes to myself, and I don't worry about it. And as by way of an example, oh, something weird's gone on there. This is an example of this presentation in its raw format. It's basically illegible. It's got scribble out. It's got notes to myself. It's frankly a mess. But it got my thoughts out on paper for the first draft. So that we can come to the next step, which is arguably, in my opinion, the most important, which is the editing. I normally edit as I type up my handwritten notes because it just helps me to rationalise my thoughts. But then I use a spell checker, so I get rid of that pet hate that everyone has of like the word effect spelled incorrectly twice in one sentence. After I've done that bit, check whether it flows. Does each paragraph run into the next paragraph? Is there a logical argument to what you're saying, whether it's an email or an article? And then if it doesn't, you have to delete it. Stephen King refers to killing your darlings, and he refers to just getting rid of that paragraph, no matter how beautifully written it is. If it doesn't add value to the reader, if it distracts them, you need to take it out. And I know it's hard because you might think it's beautifully written, but the thing that I do is I have a separate file open and I copy and paste that paragraph. And just in case, I want to use it again, and I find a way to crowbar it back in. But actually, more often than not, I don't. I have files and files of additional content that I've never used, because ultimately the article is better without. Also, remove cliches and adverbs. So cliches are overused words, overused phrases in the English language. Things like "they will live happily ever after" or "head over heels." Things that people glaze over when they hear or read because it's been used so many times. Adverbs, on the other hand, are words that have ly at the end, and they again don't necessarily add extra meaning. So it's things like "extremely" or "positively" or "rarely." They just seem like filler words. Sorry. Whoops. And then the thing that I've missed off here actually is to check your tenses. If you check whether you are using present tense or past tense and make sure you're consistent all the way through. I know that sometimes I'm guilty of this. I'll read through and realise that my tenses are muddled. So give them a look. And then walk away. Give it some space. If you can, give it an hour. Give it 24 hours. Give it a week. Just walk away from it, so that you come back to it with fresh eyes when you come to the editing. So you're reading what's there rather than what you think is there, so that you're editing with your fresh eyes. And also read it out loud. And you feel like a berk doing this, but it really, really does help. And I can promise that this is true, because when I was reading my presentation through, I noticed some mistakes and had to resend it to Joe. But the granddaddy of advertising once said, David Ogilvie once said, write the way you talk naturally. And reading your content out loud makes you notice where you stumble, where the sentences don't quite flow properly, where words just don't quite work. So I really, really recommend that. Maybe if you're an open plan office, you know, do it under your breath or something. This is an example I found online, just by way of the difference, showing how reading out loud can help. So Acme Software is a custom software development company specializing in the rapid development of highly maintainable dynamic software to meet custom client software specifications. I've run out of oxygen. So this is a really, really long sentence. It's got the word software in there four times. It's got development in there twice. Lots of the words have multiple syllables, so they're quite hard to read. And basically no one speaks like that. I mean, they'd be the most boring human being on earth if someone spoke like that. So by way of an example, I've done a quick edit job on this, and this is my suggested alternative, which is Acme Software is a development company that specializes in producing easy to maintain custom dynamic software that meets your business's needs. It's a lot shorter. I use software twice, development once, and I also use the word "your," which I was always told was the most important word in marketing copywriting, was just to make sure that you make some connection with your reader. So yeah, I'm conscious of time. So step five is proofreading, and this is not the same thing as editing. Proofreading is the final sweep before you hit publish or send. It's where someone, an expert, not me, comes in with a red pen and highlights and marks up all of the final mistakes. There are specialist proofreaders out there, and if you want any recommendations, I'm happy to point you in the right direction, but they will go through and make sure your content is squeaky. If it's just an email or something informal and you're not quite sure, just ask someone you trust. Get someone to read it over your shoulder, just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't come across as snippy, or that word doesn't make sense, or is spelt wrong, or you've used the wrong version of there. Just ask someone you trust to make sure it's clean. So those are my five steps. But I have some secret weapons up my sleeve as well that might help you. So most of you probably heard of Grammarly now, because they are aggressively advertising on YouTube. It's a free browser extension that checks spelling, punctuation and grammar. And it's invaluable, especially writing blogs. It gives you in real time your spelling mistakes and suggests the alternative. Hemingway Editor, I've been using for a few years, and this is a tool that you can use to copy and paste your content into the browser, and it will tell you the reading age of what you've written. So it will say how many years of education someone would need to actually understand what you've written. And it will point out your complex sentences and adverbs and passive voice so that you can cut them down and reduce your reading age to make it simple. And then obviously there's Google, and I have a problem with, as an example, whether I should use who or whom, and I Google it every single time because I'm never quite sure. And if you still can't find the answer, use the hive mind. Go onto social media. There are hundreds of millions of pedants on Twitter and Reddit who are so prepared to tell you are wrong. You might as well use them for something, right? And finally, oh, my little cat reading's gone. Read and read widely. So Stephen King once said, if you want to be a writer, you must do two things above all others, read a lot and write a lot. And I can't agree with this more. Whether you read fiction or non-fiction, biography, magazine articles, news stories, social media updates, packaging, it all helps because you'll start to spot things that you like, things that you don't like, way your sentences are structured, and you'll get a real feel for how to be a better writer. So in summary, spelling, punctuation and grammar matters. Mistakes reduce trust and the likelihood of people parting with their money. Some industries are more affected than others. If you work in law, education and financial services, you should take extra special care. Plan, write and edit carefully. These are the three core stages of being a good writer. And if necessary, you know, you need to involve proofreading stages and research stages too. And read widely. You'll be inspired, your words will flow more easily and you'll pick up some good habits. Thank you.